Next up, you will be listening to United Way Community Connections with Mike Affelberg.
United Way Community Connections. United Way Community Connections broadcasts every Monday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. right here on WSMN. In United Way Community Connections, you will be introduced to leaders from all of the great nonprofits in Greater Nashua, from caring for our children to our seniors, from helping our homeless pets to our at-risk vets, from learning the skills to get your GED, to dealing with trauma and substance abuse. Community Connections is the place to learn with Mike Affelberg about what's going on. Learn how you can help and make a difference from the experts. So sit back, grab a cup of coffee, and enjoy the show, which is making a difference in Greater Nashua. Here's your host, Mike Affelberg.
Well, good Monday morning. Welcome to the United Way Community Connections radio show. I'm your host, Mike Affelberg. It is Monday, April 15th, 2024. April 15th. Da, da, da. Time to get your taxes done. Today's tax day. You know what? It comes every year. It's like your birthday. It's like New Year's. It's like Christmas. It's all of that, except it's not as fun as most of those things. But if you haven't done your taxes yet, well, you know, get your extension filed. I guess that's all I can say. But hope everybody had a great weekend. It's a beautiful day here in Nashua, New Hampshire. We are coming to you live from the studios at WSMN, 1590 AM and 95.3 FM, right in the heart of Nashua, right? We're also coming to you live in a variety of other ways. So if you're drifting down the road and maybe you get out of your car but you still want to listen in, well, you can always find us on Facebook at the United Way of Greater Nashua Facebook page, United Way GN. You can also find us live by going to WSMN.live, the website. There's a live stream set up. And, of course, you can always ask your smart speaker, hey, Alexa, hey, Google, hey, Echo, please play the United Way Community Connections radio show on WSMN. And it'll happen. So hope everybody had a great weekend. And as I think I said it already, I did. You know, it was pretty nice. Hopefully got outdoors a little bit. It felt definitely like spring is here. And I do see, looking out down Main Street, I'm looking at some trees starting to bloom. I saw some forsythia driving in on the road. And, that's a happy time of year for many people who are sick of the cold. For me, it's not an unhappy time of year until about like the week after next when my allergies kick in. And so, some of you like me who might suffer from seasonal allergies know that just really is a wrinkle that can't be avoided. But I'm yet to find a really like a medication that doesn't make me drowsy. And I've tried also things like local honey. Raw local honey is supposed to be great because it's got local pollen in it. And, I love that. I love local honey. Don't get me wrong, but it doesn't make my allergies go away. It just makes me fatter than I already am. So, I don't know what the solution is other than wait it out. We'll see how that goes. Prepare for the wheezing and the sneezing. Lots going on today on our radio show. We're pretty excited. We've got, after my first break in a couple minutes, we're going to have some students and a professor from the Nashua Community College talking a little bit about what's going on over at NCC at our friends on Amherst Street. That's always a good discussion. Looking forward to that. Then we're going to take a second break. And after that, we have a community member coming in. We're going to talk a little bit about a subject which, comes up comes up pretty frequently in my world, and it's called cliff effects. And that's the, sort of the economic effect of moving up the income ladder, for low income individuals. And if you're on services, if you're receiving services like, say, fuel assistance or a housing voucher, perhaps, or supplemental nutrition, SNAPs, food stamps is what it's called. And you lose those benefits as you move up the income ladder. Sometimes you find yourself taking one step forward and two steps back. So that's an interesting topic to look at and to talk about. And boy, it is a vexing problem for many people. So we're going to talk about that too. So good show on tap for you. We're here each and every Monday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. talking with you about nonprofit work in our community and organizations that are making a difference in the lives of everyday, ordinary individuals in the greater Nashua region. A lot on tap also at United Way. Want to just mention this real quickly. So Mother's Day is coming up. We got a lot of stuff in the springtime related to moms. First of all, next week is our, I'm going to say 7th, 8th, 9th, I don't know, but it's our, let's say 7th annual United Way Community Baby Shower. And our Community Baby Shower is just such a wonderful event. You know, a baby shower is, you know, a time when you celebrate becoming a family and celebrating your new one. And the Community Baby Shower is designed to help low-income individuals who might not otherwise have a baby shower and might really struggle to get resources related to their new infant coming into the world. So we've taken up collections. Lots of generous donations have come in from individuals and from businesses throughout the region. And we're sorting those and dividing them up and trying to figure out how to, you know, gift that out to the people who come to the baby shower. We've got about 75 families signed up, and that's amazing. That number just keeps growing every year. Those are primarily low-income families that have been referred to us by our partners, organizations like Family Promise and Front Door, Marguerite's Place, Gianna's Place, you know, our community partners. And then we also have a resource fair set up so that people get information. So you come away with a lot of information about the community and the resources in the community and a lot of good stuff to get a start on life. So we're excited about the baby shower. It's always one of those must-smile days at United Way. Hard to come away from that being grumpy or grouchy unless you're just, you know, like always grumpy and grouchy about everything. If you're the kind of person who could win the lottery and complain about it, then yeah, you're going to be unhappy about the baby shower. But otherwise, we're all going to smile and think this is great. So community baby shower coming up at United Way. Shout out, big shout out to my colleague Liz, who always you know, does an amazing job putting together the baby shower, and to my volunteer, Patty LaFrance, who's on my board and also really helps to spearhead that as well. So that's coming up. Then a couple weeks down the road after that is Mother's Day. So Mother's Day is just, you know, it's like tax day, except it's better, right? So Mother's Day happens every year. This year on Mother's Day, like in many, many years past, we're doing a couple things. One, we are distributing bouquets of flowers to the homeless moms in our community. We do that because we care about those moms, and it's just a gesture of love for about 150 moms who are living in places like, you know, say, Mary's House or Gianna's Place or Front Door Agency, the soup kitchen. Those moms oftentimes do not get any kind of thanks or recognition or love on Mother's Day, but we want to remember them on their special day. So we take up a donation drive. You can go to our website, unitedwaynashua.org, unitedwaynashua.org. You'll see right on the homepage a big thing that says support homeless moms this Mother's Day, and you can click on the Donate Today button. $12 is all it takes to put together a bouquet of flowers for one of those moms. And we do that with volunteers, and we distribute that out Friday before Mother's Day. And that very evening is another event that I wanted to mention to you. And then we're going to take a break, and then we're going to hear from our friends at the Community College. So that event is called Cheers to the Community. And it's also Mother's Day weekend, so Friday of Mother's Day weekend. After we've distributed the flowers to the homeless moms, we're going to do our second annual wine tasting event out at Fulcino Vineyards. So this is a really great event. It's a very casual evening. Al Fulcino will regale us with stories about the history of wine, the culture of wine. You'll get to sample some really delicious wines, have a nice personal charcuterie board prepared for you. We have some raffle prizes set up. This is our second time doing this. It's just a lovely event and really, really nice way to celebrate our community. If you want to learn more about that, very easy to do. Go to the United Way of Greater Nashua website, unitedwaynashua.org. Then you'll see the events tab. Click on that. Takes you down to all of our events. Those are in chronological order throughout the year. And if you just scroll down to Friday, May 10th, you'll see Cheers to the Community. There's a link there. You can click on the link, buy your tickets, and join us at our wine tasting event. And that is about all I wanted to talk about today because we have some guests in the studio. So we're going to give our sponsors just a moment to talk about themselves. And when we come back after the break, we have a couple of students and a professor from the Nashua Community College. And we're going to talk about all things NCC. You are listening to the United Way Community Connections radio show. It's Monday, April 15th. And I'm your host, Mike Affelberg.
I need to get some new shirts for my business.
Just call Sal.
Does he do screen printing also?
Just call Sal.
Does he embroider shirts too?
Just call Sal.
I also need business cards and brochures.
Just call Sal.
How about yard and lawn signs?
Just call Sal.
And promotional products to give my customers?
Just call Sal.
Who is Sal?
I'm Sal. My wife Jennifer and I are the proud owners of Fully Promoted of Southern New Hampshire. If you need embroidered or screen printed shirts, business cards, brochures, lawn signs, promotional products, and even personal protective equipment for your business or organization, just call me or stop by our showroom, conveniently located at 410 South River Road in Bedford, right off the Everett Turnpike. You can also visit our website at fullypromotedsnh.com. That's fullypromotedsnh.com. We are your one-stop shop for all your promotional needs. Fully Promoted of Southern New Hampshire. Our business is to help you grow your business.
Just call Sal.
Edgestone Properties is a leading home builder in Southern New Hampshire. With over 33 years experience, Edgestone offers highly valued residential homes, including first-time buyer, luxury move-up, and senior community opportunities. Edgestone also offers well-located rental apartments, including active adult communities. Visit us at edgestoneproperties.com or call us at 603-889-5208 to learn more. You can also like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. That's 603-889-5208.
Since 1930, United Way of Greater Nashua has been your trusted partner to fight for the health, education, and financial stability of every person in every community. When a low-income child needs access to dental care, or parents need quality after-school programs where their kids can learn and be safe, United Way is there. When a person with disabilities needs a supportive day program where they can thrive, or a family loses its home and needs a place to regain financial stability, United Way is there. When a homebound senior needs food and supportive social connections, or when it comes time to die with dignity, United Way is there. The programs supported by your United Way are the heart and soul of Greater Nashua. When you volunteer or donate to United Way, you lift up the community where you live and you work. As a highly regarded nonprofit with Charity Navigator and GuideStar, you can be sure that your donations will be used for the work of making Greater Nashua stronger, smarter, and safer. Learn more and connect with us at UnitedWayNashua.org.
We all wander. The rocky beaches beckon, the mystical forest calls, and the steep hills of life lure us up and down. Sometimes we lose our way. It's okay. Come home to Wanderlust Therapeutic Services, a leader in behavioral health counseling. We take true pride in caring for you, yours, and our community's mental health and well-being. We're in this together, guiding you through whatever life throws your way. Life has a way of doing that. Get well. Get back to wandering. The world awaits. If you or someone close to you needs competent mental health care, call Wanderlust Therapeutic Services at 603-889-3553. Conveniently located at 400 Amherst Street in Nashua, right off Exit 8 on Route 3.
CrossNet offers IT services for small and medium-sized clients. We create tailor-made plans for your business's unique needs. From computer repairs to managing networks, servers and desktop services, CrossNet Inc. offers managed services, cybersecurity, data backups, virus, ransomware protection, web filtering, and more. For more information, go to crossnetinc.com or call for your personalized IT services today at 603-810-1000. CrossNet Inc. IT services keeps your businesses running when you are on the run.
Well, good Monday morning and welcome to the United Way Community Connections radio show. I'm your host, Mike Affelberg. We're here each and every Monday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. talking with nonprofit organizations, community leaders, and people from the community who are just making a difference in the lives of ordinary people in Greater Nashua every single day. And so today I'm super excited to have with me in the studio Our good friends from the Nashua Community College, I will say the community college is a regular on our show, and that's awesome, but we haven't had this conversation before, so excited to have a professor with us who's a department chair and also two of her students. So welcome to the show, guys. Glad to have you.
Thank you. We're happy to be here.
All right. So we have with us Jennifer Tripp, who is a professor of English and a department chair at the community college. Hello.
Hi, Mike.
And we have, and I'm going to get this wrong, I promise. I'm sorry, Barella from communications major.
Oh, it's Perla.
Perla, communications major at the college. Thank you, Perla. And Max, who's an English major. Max, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Great having all three of you today with us. So we're going to start with you, Jennifer. First of all, maybe give us an introduction of your full title so that we can get it right for everybody.
Sure. I'm the Arts, Humanities, Communication, and Design Department Chair, which includes the English program. I've been at NCC for 17 years, started as an adjunct, and became full-time 11 years ago. Just a little history of NCC. I'm sure many of your listeners know, but we have existed in Nashua since 1970. We're 54 years old this year, and it's grown tremendously in that time, from what was affectionately referred to as the VoTech by many people to a college with
You have no idea how many people I actually... There are a couple things in Nashua that are institutions. One is, and usually it's the same person who says, I went to high school at Elm Street, right? After I was born at Memorial Hospital, and then I went to the VoTech.
Yes.
That's always the same person.
Yes. And we understand, you know, that it's used affectionately, but we're so much more than a VoTech.
No question.
You know, we're a college with more than 50 associate degrees, certificates, career training options, and liberal arts and technical education. We're currently serving over 1,300 students of all ages from the greater Nashua. And we have classes online, in person, hybrid, flex. Six of our programs are offered entirely online, and our graduates have successfully transferred to more than 500 colleges and universities nationwide. Something that's really taking off recently is our early college program. This is a program where students in New Hampshire, sophomores and above, can take two free early college courses per year. We have early college at the high school, at the college campus, and online. And we partner with teachers at Nashua South, Nashua North, Elvern, Merrimack, Hollis, Brookline, and many more high schools to offer those college courses at the high school.
And now tell me, Jennifer, how does that differ from either AP courses or Running Start courses?
So that actually is Running Start.
It is Running Start.
The name has changed.
So you know what? My daughter did Running Start. I had no idea the name had changed. There you go. Okay.
Yeah, so it's now called Early College at Your High School.
Got it.
Instead of Running Start. Yep. But that's the same thing.
Well, I tell you, that's such a great program. My daughter did Running Start and early college, right? And she ended up going to UNH, and she went to the college, university, and she was able to basically take close to a year off of her degree, and she just which makes a huge difference. Meant she didn't have to spend as much time at the school. It meant my money didn't have to spend as much time at the school either. Yeah. It was pretty great.
It used to be the free courses were only for STEM courses. That was a scholarship, but the state has recently opened that up for all courses. So two free courses a year.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. So what I wanted to talk to you about today, Mike, is our second annual Celebration of Learning that we're going to be hosting at NCC on Thursday, May 2nd from 5 to 7 p.m. This will showcase all of the excellent work that students have done throughout the year in the form of posters, videos, papers, artwork, and other projects. It will also include an open house where prospective students can learn all about NCC. And most importantly, they can talk to students and see their work, which is not usually part of our open house where they're meeting with professors primarily. But this time they'll be able to really see what it means to be an NCC student. So just a few examples of the type of work you'll see. Our mechanical engineering technology students are going to showcase a project that they designed and built. It's a portable shelter for the homeless, which they plan to donate to a Nashua rescue mission. And they are also going to showcase a project called the DIY Helper, Do-It-Yourself Helper, which is a rooftop rack adapter that can change sizes to hold sheets of plywood and other materials when you're coming home from Home Depot or Lowe's. And our nursing students have many projects to display, but one is all about access to healthcare for the homeless. And we have early childhood education students who will have work on display, history students, graphic design, drawing, photography, automotive, and many more. And I brought two students with me today who are graduating from NCC soon and who will be displaying their work at the Celebration of Learning. Maxwell Paradise is an English major, and Perla Garcia is a communications major.
Fantastic. So why don't we start with you, Max, since you were introduced first. Tell us a little bit about your major and your plans and what you're going to be demonstrating at this event.
Okay. My name is Maxwell Paradise. I'm an English major. My plan after school is to be a middle school English teacher. That's where my passion lies. I've been in a teaching setting before and I loved it. So I'm very excited for that.
And middle school.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm impressed.
Well, I did the elementary school setting already, and it's crazy.
Well, I have a daughter who's a middle school guidance counselor, so I can tell you I hear all about this demographic all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. It's a great calling. Fantastic.
Oh, yeah. My plan is to do my time at NCC. I'm almost done. It's been a blast. Can't believe it's almost done already. And then after, I'm going to try and transfer over to SNU and finish my 4-year.
Fantastic. And any idea where you want to teach?
I've worked in the Londonderry School District before.
Cool.
Know a lot of the people there. It's a great school district. I think that might be the first tree that I bark up if I'm looking. But I'll really take anything that falls in my lap.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And of course, there's always a lot of positions open for, you know, for middle school teachers. So that's fantastic.
Definitely.
Good. Congratulations. That's awesome. It's quite a calling.
Yeah.
And you're going to also be having something on display at this event?
I will.
Tell us about that.
I'm going to be having my little presentation is about Lovecraftian horror, if you've ever heard of it.
I have not.
It's kind of like Frankenstein, like the same like vibe as Frankenstein, all gloomy and sad and stuff. Except instead of Frankenstein, you have like space gods from outer space that come down and mess you up.
That is extraordinarily creative, and I know I have not heard of that before. That's cool.
It is definitely unique. It's kind of a weird like niche genre that's been getting more popular.
Yeah.
And I was just like, what could I do my project on? And there was nothing else in my mind.
that's pretty great. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. That's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Perla, tell us about yourself and your plans and your project.
So my name is Perla Garcia, and I'm a communication major at NCC. My plan after college would probably be to do some marketing and advertising, either for small companies that are local to Nashua or just big companies in general.
Fantastic. What kind of work would you like to do at those companies?
Mostly social media, just because social media has like had a big impact on us and it's had a big rise in the society.
Yeah, there's no question about that, both good and bad. That's absolutely true. Good. We can always use some new professionals in that space. And your project that you're going to have on display?
So I've been interning at the Nashua Public Library, and I've been working on a Spanish newsletter just because it's something that they don't have. Just basically translating like big events that have gone at the library or in the community as well.
That's fantastic. That's so cool. And such totally different kind of projects you guys are going to have on display. Congratulations.
Yeah.
And tell me about your experience at Nashua Community College. What has that been like? Where did you come from? How long have you been there? And what are some of the the highlights? Either of you.
I've been at Nashua Community for 2 years. I came from Wyndham High School, which is a wonderful high school. I have had a blast, honestly. I have loved NCC so much. All of my professors have been amazing, very human, very kind, very patient. I've never had a bad experience, really. I mean, I've been stressed, but that's mostly my fault. So,
well, stress is part of the college experience.
That's part of the ride.
It certainly is. And have all of your classes been in person, or have you had sort of a hybrid kind of a model?
I've kind of done a little bit of both, kind of my own prerogative. If you really go out and seek it, I think you could really do it either way. But I did a mix of both, just depending on convenience, especially for summer classes. Summer classes being online is so nice.
Yeah.
But I try and do in-person as much as I can because I can't focus on the online classes.
So I'm the same as you, and I find, like, if anything is not in-person, my mind immediately just starts wandering off. But for many people, it's actually really been great. So, you know, I guess it speaks to the fact that different things work for different types of people.
Yeah, different strokes for different folks.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. And how about yourself, Perla? Where are you from and how has your experience been? Some highlights.
So I'm actually local. I'm from downtown Nashua. I attended high school south in Nashua, and then in 2020 I graduated, and then I started right away at the community college. I've taken a lot of courses that had to do with basically what I want to work in. So I've taken some social media classes, and it was good learning experience on the influence that social media has had on us.
So you started in 2020 in the fall, I presume?
Yeah.
So that means you had the full experience of your first year probably being entirely remote, I imagine.
So it was actually in person. It was when things have gone down.
Okay.
But then everything went back up, so yeah. Then we had to go back to being online.
So how has that been for you as having experienced both environments?
I definitely prefer being in person. Like you said, you concentrate better when you're in person than it is online.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't tell you. I mean, there are a lot of people who will just say, I want to do it remote. And I'm like, oh, no, that means because you don't want to actually be meeting with me. You want to do something and say you met with me.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Very good. Thank you guys both for sharing. I appreciate that. And Jennifer, how about, any other highlights that you'd like to bring up?
Yes, absolutely. I just wanted to mention that with our communications program, the students are required to do 120 hours at internship sites, and most of them are all over Nashua, including the United Way. We have two interns with the United Way, Ifra Masood and Jack Murado. And we have one here at WSMN. Amy Tassani is interning here. So that's been great to partner with these different businesses around Nashua. And I'd like to just mention a couple of success stories from my program. And one is Maya Blanchard. She graduated with her associate's degree in English from NCC in 2021.
So I know the name.
Do you?
Keep going. Oh, absolutely. She's a journalist.
Yes, yes. She transferred to Riviere College, graduated with her bachelor's degree in 2023, and she now works for the Hippo Press. And she even got to interview an author that she read in one of my classes, Ann Patchett, and she sent me an email saying, I just thought you would love to hear about this, that I'm interviewing Ann Patchett. And we read one of her books together, so that was great for me to hear.
That's fantastic.
So you know her?
Yes, and I know the name.
Yeah.
I don't know her personally.
Yeah. And then Abigail Schultz, she graduated with an associate's in English from NCC also in 2021. She transferred to Hampshire College, graduated with her bachelor's degree in 2023. She's now studying at Emerson College in Boston in their Creative Writing Master of Fine Arts program. And she may be teaching at NCC soon. She recently contacted me that's something she's interested in coming back. And then one more with a radio connection, Amanda Goyette. She did her internship at the Manchester Radio Group, and she graduated with her associates in communications. She's at SNU right now, about to graduate. She did another radio internship there. She really found her passion in radio, and she had told me that if she didn't do the internship, she wasn't sure if she would have known that. And so that's a great aspect to NCC, is that many of our programs do have internships. Our automotive program, many of the students go on to work where they interned, or they at least have a reference. So that's something that we're proud of.
It's the funniest thing about radio. Like, I never did radio. Like, I didn't study radio. I didn't study communications. I didn't study journalism. I just kind of fell into it because one day George asked me to come on a show and interview me. Yeah. So I was sitting where you guys are. and I just fell into it. I'm like, wow, that's really great. I got to have my own show. And I've been doing this now for like 6 years, and I love it so much. I think that would have been my other calling had I learned earlier.
Yeah, I bet.
It's a great media.
Yeah. And, you know, with the celebration of learning, we really want to stress to people that it's sort of like a poster session where you can walk around and look at things. You don't have to, you know, sit in an auditorium and listen to 15-minute long presentations. That's not what it is. It'll be in our atrium and library and some surrounding classrooms.
Open to the public?
It's open to the public. It's free. We'll have food. We'll have music. And then it's really...
Do you need to register?
No, you do not. Although, if you are interested in coming... for the open house aspect, to because you are a prospective student, our admissions office does love for people to RSVP. So if you go on our website, you'll see a invitation to the Celebration of Learning /open house, and there is a QR code to easily RSVP. But you don't have to. All are welcome. It's free. May 2nd, 5 to 7 p.m. at NCC, which is 505 Amherst Street in Nashua.
Fantastic. Thank you. We're about out of time, so I wanted to mention that again. So May 2nd, 5 to 7 p.m. at Nashua Community College on Amherst Street, the Celebration of Learning. Great opportunity if you're a prospective student, if you're just looking to learn more about the college and what they're up to, and enjoy a nice evening of inspirational projects from some of our fantastic students. So thank you so much for sharing that.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
All right. So we're about done, guys. I appreciate Max, Perla, and Jennifer for coming on the show today, talking a bit about the college. Good luck to you guys as you go on to graduation. I will be at your graduation ceremony, by the way. So nice. Cheering you on. And thank you for joining me today on the Community Connections Radio Show.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. You're welcome. So we're going to take another quick break now, give our sponsors a chance to talk about themselves. We're so pleased to have them as sponsors. Without them, we could not bring this show to the air. After that, we'll have our next interview, and that will be in about 4 or 5 minutes. So sit back, grab a cup of coffee, and come on and enjoy the rest of the show.
I need to get some new shirts for my business.
Just call Sal.
Does he do screen printing also?
Just call Sal.
Does he embroider shirts too?
Just call Sal.
I also need business cards and brochures.
Just call Sal.
How about yard and lawn signs?
Just call Sal.
And promotional products to give my customers?
Just call Sal.
Who is Sal?
I'm Sal. My wife Jennifer and I are the proud owners of Fully Promoted of Southern New Hampshire. If you need embroidered or screen printed shirts, business cards, brochures, lawn signs, promotional products, and even personal protective equipment for your business or organization, just call me or stop by our showroom, conveniently located at 410 South River Road in Bedford, right off the Everett Turnpike. You can also visit our website at fullypromotedsnh.com. That's fullypromotedsnh.com. We are your one-stop shop for all your promotional needs. Fully Promoted of Southern New Hampshire. Our business is to help you grow your business.
Just call Sal.
CrossNet offers IT services for small and medium-sized clients. We create tailor-made plans for your business's unique needs. From computer repairs to managing networks, servers and desktop services, CrossNet Inc. offers managed services, cybersecurity, data backups, virus, ransomware protection, web filtering, and more. For more information, go to crossnetinc.com or call for your personalized IT services today at 603-810-1000. CrossNet Inc. IT Services keeps your businesses running when you are on the run.
Edgestone Properties is a leading home builder in Southern New Hampshire. With over 33 years experience, Edgestone offers highly valued residential homes, including first-time buyer, luxury move-up, and senior community opportunities. Edgestone also offers well-located rental apartments, including active adult communities. Visit us at edgestoneproperties.com or call us at 603-889-5208 to learn more. You can also like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. That's 603-889-5208.
We all wander. The rocky beaches beckon, the mystical forest calls, and the steep hills of life lure us up and down. Sometimes we lose our way. It's okay. Come home to Wanderlust Therapeutic Services, a leader in behavioral health counseling. We take true pride in caring for you, yours, and our community's mental health and well-being. We're in this together, guiding you through whatever life throws your way. Life has a way of doing that. Get well. Get back to wandering. The world awaits. If you or someone close to you needs competent mental health care, call Wanderlust Therapeutic Services at 603 603- 888-889-3553. Conveniently located at 400 Amherst Street in Nashua, right off Exit 8 on Route 3.
Since 1930, United Way of Greater Nashua has been your trusted partner to fight for the health, education, and financial stability of every person in every community. When a low-income child needs access to dental care, or parents need quality after-school programs where their kids can learn and be safe, United Way is there. When a person with disabilities needs a supportive day program where they can thrive, or a family loses its home and needs a place to regain financial stability, United Way is there. When a homebound senior needs food and supportive social connections, or when it comes time to die with dignity, United Way is there. The programs supported by your United Way are the heart and soul of Greater Nashua. When you volunteer or donate to United Way, you lift up the community where you live and you work. As a highly regarded nonprofit with Charity Navigator and GuideStar, you can be sure that your donations will be used for the work of making Greater Nashua stronger, smarter, and safer. Learn more and connect with us at UnitedWayNashua.org.
Well, good Monday morning and welcome to the United Way Community Connections radio show. I'm your host, Mike Affelberg. It's Monday, April 15th, 2024. Just a subtle reminder, as if you didn't need one, it's tax day. You know, a few things in life that can't be avoided. And as they say, taxes and death are amongst those. So unless you are listening from the afterlife, which is highly unlikely, go file your taxes or get an extension. That's your uplifting note for the day. So I'm here with this in the studio with somebody who's never been on the show with me before and is here as a community member. It's Christina Darling. Christina, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
Well, it's so nice to be with you this morning. And tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll introduce the topic, which is this economic phenomenon known as the cliff effect. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name is Christina, and I have two wonderful boys who live with me here in the Nashua School District. And I've been in a part of the low-income community since leaving a domestic violence situation, which unfortunately happens all too often. I was lucky enough to get into a housing program here in Nashua. And honestly, I can't imagine having been lucky enough to end up anywhere else, because this has been the best city and best environment for my family. And it's even allowed me to do things like run for the Board of Education here in Nashua. So it's been quite the ride, but it's also taught me a lot about the welfare cliff.
So you've been in the community for how long now?
About 5.5 years.
Fantastic. And it is a great community. And there are a lot of opportunities for people to step up and do things in community service. You mentioned the Board of Ed, and there are also various other commissions. And it's one of those places where if you have a voice and you want to hear, get something, told and put in some work in the community, the opportunities really are there.
Absolutely. That's kind of been the biggest wake-up call compared to other cities, is this is the most welcoming for diversity and for people who have different stories to stand up and tell their own personal ideas of what's happened.
Yeah, absolutely. So the cliff effect is what we wanted to talk about then this morning. So let me tell you, my first experience with the cliff effect was as an direct experience, was as an employer. And a couple of years ago, we had an employee. She was a part-time administrative assistant with us, low-income mom, mother of two. She had a housing voucher. She had her kids at Head Start. She was on supplemental nutrition assistance and had fuel assistance. So a variety of social benefits programs that she was on. And started working with us, and that was all great until I asked if she could pick up a couple more hours, and we also gave her a raise. And within a very short amount of time, she came to me and said, "Mike, I got a problem here. I'm going to lose." And she went down the list. And it was really eye-opening for me, because what we had done effectively was to take with her one step forward and about three steps backward. Yep. And that got me thinking, well, this is just such a demotivating disincentive for people to get ahead in life. So tell us about your experience.
So I was working with Southern New Hampshire Tenant Services, and I was a tenant service provider for low-income families like mine, including at the property where I live in, we provide tenant services. And I loved my job. I loved being able to help people connect with services. I loved being able to help these other moms that were so much like me, help lift them up into their own independence and strength. And it was around, it was during COVID that I had decided I wanted to run for the Board of Education. And I did that. And I got my position on the Board of Education, which I had always assumed was a volunteer position. I never thought I would make money at it. And it wasn't until after I got elected that I found out I would be making $4,000 a year. And that $4,000 a year plus the $500 a year raise I had just gotten from my job was enough to push me over the welfare cliff. And it was going to cost me my housing, my food stamps, and my heat assistance. Thankfully, Medicaid is much harder to lose. Mm-hmm. Thank goodness for my kids. But everything else was going to fall off within the second year of the second month of the year. And I was terrified. What do you do? Do I tell the city of Nashua, nope, sorry, can't take this Board of Ed position that I just got elected for?
So tell me the math. So the benefits that you were going to lose,
yep,
would have what had carried what kind of a value?
So my food stamp benefits at the time were $363 a month, and that pretty adequately paid for mine and my two children's food. My heating benefit had brought my heat and electric bill down to about $15 to $20 a month, which is much less than the $120 to $150 it can sometimes get up to. And my housing benefit, which is the scariest to lose, my $1,900 apartment would go from being 30% of my income to being full price, which essentially was going from $400 a month to $1,900 a month.
So I just calculated that in my head, and it looks to me like you're going to lose about $15,000 in benefits
for
earning $4,500
a year.
A year.
Yeah.
And so that's okay. So you don't have to be a rocket scientist or an economist PhD at the Harvard Business School to say that's a bad deal.
It is a bad deal.
And then, you were just trying to do the right thing for your community.
Yep. And then when I started asking questions, like, for example, I thought this was a volunteer position. I was more than happy to take that $4,000 and donate it back into the school system because that's where I felt the money should be anyway. Yeah. Nope, you're not allowed to donate my income like that when you're on any form of welfare. And when I went to my bosses and I said, hey, can you guys either cut me down to part-time or not give me this pay raise? Let me, like, just keep me right under that line. And they said that because I had explained everything to them, for them to do that, they would be committing welfare fraud right alongside me. So the idea that even wanting what I thought should be a volunteer position, even allowing that money to go back into public education, right, was welfare fraud. And that became even scarier. We just recently, we're in our budget season right now on the Board of Ed, and the Board of Aldermen has voted on all board positions getting a raise. That right there increases my pay on the board. But again, I can't say, no, please don't give me this money. It's going to hurt me, because that's welfare fraud.
Right. Absolutely. And that's the situation that I described with my employee, yes, at United Way. Same exact situation.
It's painfully common. Out of the families that I still work with, in my building, we have 40 units, and I have 6 families in those units that I work with one-on-one regularly who are low income, who are facing the same cliff effects within their employment. And it stinks because the common thing I hear from every single one of them is, we don't want to be on welfare anymore. Mm-hmm. We want to be self-sustaining. We want to someday have a house for our children. We want what's best for our families. But it's so hard to do that when just getting a full-time job flipping burgers is enough to make it so you no longer can survive.
So what sort of solutions? Obviously, you've thought about this a lot. And it's one thing to, you know, obviously, it's a pretty easy problem to understand when you start thinking about it. What sort of solutions do you think there could potentially be for, you know, for this particular problem?
Well, I think that DHHS had started to really explore it in 2019 when they got together a group to study the cliff effect. And they came up with some really good ideas, like when somebody who is on TANF gets a job, not counting a portion of that income for the first year to 2 years to allow them time to save up and acclimate. And that all sounds like a great idea, but really what you're doing is you're just pushing the effect of that cliff off. We really need to find a way to taper people off of benefits and onto their own feet at an equal rate, where it's there is no, oh my goodness, I'm losing $100 of my food, you know, this month and I have to completely rearrange everything. If we're looking at their income and as the income is going up, we are equally lowering the benefits and not every benefit all at once. We're more likely to allow people to have that long-term success and standing on their own 2 feet rather than as many people who are hitting their 5-year limit requesting extensions or falling into poverty and homelessness.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. And one of the things, like you said, pushing it down the road, one of the things I've thought about and haven't done, but we've tossed around as an idea in our community is what if we had a fund that was available to individuals that could help to buffer that effect. So if you were going to earn, you know, $2 more and learn and lose $3, that the fund itself for a period of time would pay that difference.
Yeah.
Also to buffer that, you know, it can't be a permanent thing, but we haven't done that, but it's just like another idea that we've kind of tossed around and I think would help people, because I do not think that people want to be on welfare. People do want to be self-sustaining. It's a general, I mean, hear that all the time.
Trying to live on welfare is probably one of the most painful experiences I've been through.
Pretty degrading.
It is. And you are, everybody knows, you go to the grocery store, you pull out that EBT card, the other people in line are immediately looking at your groceries being like, do you really need this? And like, you don't know me, my family, my life, what it is we need or don't need. Not only that,
right?
Why do you think you can judge? Why is it that like we are so quick to judge somebody who is on any form of assistance and say, well, they're not pulling their weight? But I think COVID showed a lot of people, those low-income individuals are our essential workers.
Yep.
There are ones that are working 30 to 40 hours a week in grocery stores, and that might not be their dream career, but they're killing it. And they're not making enough to survive.
Well, especially in a place that has an extraordinarily tight, expensive housing market.
Yes.
And has almost impossible to afford childcare.
Yep.
And, you know, the problems with the medical system are still there as well. So, yeah, there's a lot of barriers. You know, I love the idea about what you said DHHS had been looking at this. One of the problems I see and is just so many of the benefits come from different agencies, and the agencies work in silos, and they don't even communicate with each other in terms of qualification. I mean, if you're applying for benefits in, you know, say Medicaid, you would think that there should be some sort of universally portable kind of an application, but you know, you go to apply for SNAP, you're going to you start over from scratch. And then you apply for a housing voucher, you start over from scratch. You fuel assistance, you start over from scratch. It's all, every agency has a different sort of form and barriers and hurdles. So
let me ask you this. So you had mentioned tax time.
Yeah.
How is it that our government can keep track of all of our citizens, what they own, to know whether or not they're defaulting or not paying their taxes without us even ever having to really file? Like, you file when you know you're getting money back or you know you're going to owe.
Mm-hmm.
But realistically speaking, the government's able to keep track of all of that information. Yet we take our individuals who are at some of the hardest points in their life and we say, oh, you want help with food? Well, here you go. We need you to fill out these 40 forms. Plus, we need verifications for these 20 items. Plus, if you accidentally, if your camera shakes when you're uploading, or if something's not in blue or black ink, or there's just an issue with an upload somewhere.
It just gets rejected.
It gets rejected. You have to start completely over. And we put these individuals who are already struggling to survive into this situation, then we ask them to do it again and again and again.
I always picture this, and I've talked with people in the community about this. Like, in my mind, I'm a simple guy, so mm-hmm. I think it's simple pictures. I got on one hand of the wall a little pile of crumbs, and those are our benefits. It's a small pile, and it's hard to live on. And on the other side of the wall are the people who need to get across the wall to get to those benefits. And the wall is this enormous bureaucracy that is designed to keep people from that little pile of crumbs. And I think the wall costs us probably 100 times more than the benefits themselves. Don't even start me here. This is infuriating, in fact.
It does. It's almost as if in our world we have two kinds of people. We have the people that are very much about love and acceptance and synergy and wanting to help every single person around them and believing that human beings as a society need to work together to really evolve. And you have the other group of people who are kind of living in their own little silo and echo chamber saying, if I had to work this hard, you should have to work this hard. I paid my student loans. You should have to pay your student loans. I worked 80 hours a week. You know, you should have to work 80 hours a week. And at the end of the day, we need more people to stand up and go, just because I had to do something hard doesn't mean I want what's hard for the rest of you.
Well, the slide that I was on when I was in school had rust on it and broken nails. I survived it, so can't you too? Look, you were down in Washington, D.C. talking at the White House recently. We have about 30 seconds left. Can you tell me about that?
It is probably the most exciting thing I've ever done. I traveled to DC and back in one day. Will never do it in one day again.
That's a lot.
I am not in my 20s. But while I was there, I was able to have this amazing opportunity where in a room full of people who were saying, you guys are doing all these amazing things for us, I got to stand up and say, hey, I appreciate the ESSER funds. I appreciate all the work you've done in expanding broadband and the affordable connectivity program. But I want to be very clear when I say you are hurting my community because you are taking all of those away in the next couple of months. My community, who has gotten to a point where we need internet, our education system requires you in a lot of ways to have internet.
Right.
The majority of individuals in my community will not be able to afford it as of next month. And it felt really good to tell people who are supposed to be, you know, in the highest level of control in our government, hey, thank you for this help that you gave, but you're now really hurting us because you have made it so that we are relying on this benefit and now you're taking the benefit away.
Yeah, thank you for that advocacy. I mean, those are messages that really need to be heard. Sometimes our DC politicians are very far away and very, very far removed from the actual problems in the
community. Definitely.
So we're out of time, Christina.
Yes.
I appreciate this conversation so much. Thank you for sharing your experiences. And of course, on behalf of a grateful community, thank you for, you know, running for board. It's a hard thing, a challenging thing to do. And we appreciate your service to Nashua. Thank you.
I appreciate it. And thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So you've been listening to the United Way Community Connections radio show. We will be back next Monday. I'm not really sure what we'll be talking about, but I can guarantee you this. It will be interesting and it will be different nonprofit and community perspectives. Until next week, please remember my golden rule, and that's be kind to one another, because great things really do happen when we live united.